Hey, Project Big Screen listeners, you can find us every Monday on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or YouTube. Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music.
What happens when you lock 18 coworkers in an office for 1 week to compete for $250,000 of cash? This is Surviving Barstool Season 5, presented by Rumble Premium. Each episode released 3 hours early, so get it ad-free before anyone else, only when you join Rumble Premium. Surviving Barstool premieres Sunday, August 9th at 5 p.m. on Rumble Premium. And everywhere else at 8 p.m.
To infinity and beyond!
The Lord tells me he can get me out of this mess, but he's pretty sure you're fucked.
This is why you fail.
You can't handle the truth!
Maybe. Maybe not. Maybe fuck yourself.
Say hello to my new friend!
You'll shoot your eye out, kid.
Say what again? Say what again? I dare you! I double dare you, motherfucker! Say what one more goddamn time!
What we've got here is failure to communicate.
Roads? Where we're going, we don't need roads.
Are you not entertained? Are you not entertained?
You hit our son!
Happy birthday, Polly.
Oh, no, I got me some. Well, how's the Joker, baby?
Welcome to Lights, Camera, Barstool, episode 201. Jeff Lowe, Ken, Jack Trobolins. It's like, it's LCB 2.0. We're in the next phase of 100 episodes or whatever.
Season 3.
Yeah, season 3.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Season 3.
Yeah. What's going on? What's happening on this... on this glorious Sunday, another Watchmen episode dropping the night. Very pumped for that.
I think it's supposed to be a big episode. If I remember back from the reviews I read before the first episode came out, I read where the third episode is supposed to be a mind melting episode.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm pretty excited for that. Yeah.
What are you good up to, Joe?
You know what? I just woke up from a nap. The baby woke up early this morning because of the time change, and got up with the baby and we played and everything, but then I crashed really hard, and wife was kind enough to take care of the baby. Woke up from the nap, came straight in here. So I didn't really know what to talk about, but I do know what to talk about. I've been watching, as I take my Unisom and fall asleep at night, I've been watching Castlevania on Netflix, and it's pretty okay.
It's okay. Like, what level is it compared to other Netflix stuff?
I mean, it's the animation's great. The voice acting's tremendous. Richard Armitage is in it.
From Hobbit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And the voice acting's phenomenal. It's really interesting. If you've ever liked the Castlevania video games, this one, I think, takes the Castlevania 3, the NES Castlevania 3, forget what the subtitle of that game was, and loosely adapts it into a television show. It's pretty cool.
Like, okay enough where you might rewatch it where you aren't falling asleep, or just like good in the sense that like this is a good show just to kind of turn my brain off late with?
It's a good show to turn your brain off. I'm on the fence to if it's a great show. I mean, I don't know. It's hard to say. Like it feels, it's like an anime, right? Like the animation is very anime style and the plot's like, it's not nothing too deep, but it's a lot of great dialogue if you like that sort of thing.
Can we play a sea shanty to end the pod?
Is that the what? Why?
It's just been a meme that's going around now. It's just high school kids singing sea shanties in the bathroom of like their schools or whatever. Like, what do you do with the drunken sailor and shit like that? And it is—I can't even explain why at all, but it is violently funny to me. Just them singing like these old school 1800 fucking sea shanty or 1700 sea shanties. It's so fucking hilarious. I'll find a good one.
Kids are all right.
Maybe a remix. The kids are all right.
The Zoomers are doing okay.
Zoomers are cool.
Yeah, their humor is way more advanced than I think. Definitely my generation, the elder millennials were.
Definitely way better than mine too. I mean, I thought extremely dumb shit was funny, like dumbest stuff.
Our joke, like, was basically, did you guys remember in Van Wilder the donut scene? And everybody crack up. That's how you told a joke when I was in high school.
And everyone laughed. Mm-hmm.
We also got later on this week, we're going to be doing Terminator, which is a movie that exists that I saw.
But apparently it's okay.
We saw it, Trill.
I don't know about that. I don't know if I would classify it as okay. We'll get into it in a minute, though, because its box office performance was very much not okay.
Who could have seen that coming?
Yeah, we'll get into that many one people. In a second. We're going to be ranking Arnold movies, too. I think Large is going to be coming on. And then we'll be dipping into Green Lantern later on. Anything good in Green Lantern? Tough to say, but the answer is probably no.
We'll see.
This is an uneducated comment. It's just based off of feeling. It's not quantified in any way. But this does feel like a pivot year for this industry with a lot of movies that 10 years ago would have killed it at the box office, bringing back franchises and not doing well at the box office. 2018 and 2019, because we know overall revenues are down.
You have to think. Well, we'll talk about it in a second with Terminator, because it is worth talking about. That's probably the most interesting thing that you can bring up from that. Mm-hmm. So yeah, let's bring that back up. Anything else though before we get into the old pod here to shut some news, talk some CGI superheroes?
Let's do it, fellas. Let's get to it.
This episode is brought to you by, guess what? You know it's cold outside, right, Trill?
Certainly is. It is the temperatures are plunging.
Sweater weather.
Ooh,
Better place.
Everyone in Hoboken sweatered up.
Yeah. Yeah,
but everybody's wearing the big chunkers, big chunky sweaters, the fisherman cable knits.
They should be getting all their sweaters from Peter Millar.
They should be. Yeah, I agree. Yep.
Tailgating, traveling, tons of benefits too. Layer over a polo, a sports shirt. It can be casual. It can be dressed up for dinner. Peter Millar stuff, as we mentioned all the time, looks fantastic. So you got to go to Peter Millar, PeterMillar.com/lights and receive a complimentary cart cooler with your purchase. Get your Crown Soft sweaters.
Wait, what's this complimentary thing?
It's a complimentary cart cooler.
What's a cart cooler?
I think it's a cooler for like a golf cart.
It's a complimentary
cart cooler. Oh, gotcha. I was thinking it was a cooler for a Super Nintendo cartridge. So it gets too hot.
No, sure not.
They're finally... The breakthrough technology is here.
Yeah, you don't have to blow on them anymore. They got coolers you put them in.
Go to PeterMillar.com/lights. They have beautiful sweaters and much more. If you don't want a sweater, it doesn't mean you can't go to PeterMillar.com/lights. It just means you got to get something different.
Get a vest.
Yeah, vests are cool. Vests are still very in and hip. So get a vest, get a sweater, get whatever you want from Peter Millar.
Yeah, you know, everybody's wearing the fleece vests, right? All the finance guys and girls.
So yeah, you switch it up.
Get the quilted one.
Be original.
They used to give out a free hat when you did PeterMillar.com/lights, but I guess so many people went there, they just ran out of hats. Now they're giving out card coolers. Nothing wrong with that. It's good stuff. First up in news, let's talk about Jumanji, The Next Level.
Do we have to?
The Rock and Kevin Hart are back for the sequel to the sequel of the original movie.
Oh boy, are they getting up to anything on social media lately?
Oh, I'm sure they are. True. Actually, no.
The Rock was at UFC, for whatever that's worth.
Yeah, he was there. I feel like this has not been marketed as heavily as the first one. I'm curious if this one underperforms the box office. Unknown to his friend Spencer, remember Spencer?
From Ballers?
From the last one?
Oh, yeah.
Was it Paul Scheer?
Paul Scheer?
No, I'm just saying who played Spencer.
Fucking, isn't the Rock's character's name is Spencer?
Oh.
The Rock's... Yeah.
Right? I'm not going crazy right now, am I?
No, I got it. I'm having a disassociative moment. I apologize.
Okay,
it's Gatorade Zero you're drinking right now. You got to switch back to G2.
It's got me cronked.
He's fucking slumped over from that G0.
The Rock plays a guy named Dr. Smolder Bravestone, who was Spencer. Spencer became The Rock. Anyway, Spencer kept the key pieces to the Jumanji video game that they destroyed at the end of the last movie because they made a lot of money on that movie and they wanted to make another one. He had the foresight to do that. And one day repaired the system in the basement of his grandfather's house. When Spencer's friends, Bethany, Fridge, and Martha arrive, they find Spencer missing and the game running and decide to re-enter Jumanji to save him. Spencer's grandfather, Eddie, and his friend, this is the longest synopsis of all time, and his friend Milo Walker hear the commotion and inadvertently get sucked into the game too before any of Spencer's friends can select their avatar. For the new quest offered to them by Nigel Billingsley, the teenage friends must help Eddie and Milo, or Milo, get used to their in-game avatars. Hell yes.
And I can't wait for this.
It's back, folks. The draw on this one is that Danny DeVito and Danny Glover are now in the movie as well.
Okay.
But Jack Black, Dwayne Johnson, Kevin Hart, and Karen Gillan all in this as well. Again, it would appear as though Awkwafina's in it as well. Colin Hanks, looks like Nick Jonas is in it again, I think. So big time stuff here, Jumanji Next Level. I think we all kind of enjoyed the last Jumanji movie. Like, we were pleasantly surprised, right? Yeah. But I think we liked the action and the idea and the different twists. This one feels like it's a little more character-based with, like, old people jokes thrown in. And that just doesn't do it for me. Like, that doesn't get me really hyped about it. Like, I mean, I enjoyed the first one. I don't know if I sound too pessimistic, but, like, I didn't enjoy it because I thought the characters were great. Like, oh, I need to see these characters on screen again.
No, it's just, like, a fun turn your brain off and enjoy about roughly 2 hours of The Rock and Kevin Hart making jokes type of movie, which nothing wrong with that.
I think this will be fun. It's nothing to get excited over, but it's going to service that slot as a family-friendly action adventure movie quite well. They make a bunch of money. It'll probably be 65 to 70 on a rating scale. It's just, yeah, I've seen a trailer for it. It's hard not to say it is more of the same, but also that's kind of the point of the sequel, right? Like, just more familiarity than bringing us back to Jumanji. I mean, it's really convenient he kept the leftover pieces of the game cart.
Right.
I mean, just think about where they would be if that didn't happen. That'd be pretty messed up.
Jumanji 3, Wild Hogs.
The first one almost made a billion off a $150 million budget. I mean, that's a lofty goal to do that again, especially because I just, again, feel like the marketing has not been there like it was for the last one.
When's the release date for this?
It's out, I believe, in December. Yeah, December 13th, so the week before Star Wars comes out.
Brilliant.
Yeah. I want to see Jumanji, but directed by Hideo Kojima. The Rock's main character is like a 6'5" super soldier with an eye patch.
Mm-hmm.
Kevin Hart plays like a guy with long hair and a mechanical arm who has mm-hmm. like psychic abilities.
The fist like shoots off too like a rocket. It's mm-hmm. so it's sick.
Yeah. There's like a talking lynx that was a genetic experiment gone terribly wrong.
I was gonna say definitely a monster of some sort, like some genetic freak monster, but I think that covers that angle. Guillermo del Toro is involved for some reason. So is Norman Reedus.
Norman Reedus is Norman Reedus like plays The Rock. He's mm-hmm. like he plays The Rock like as like Dwayne Johnson, who is playing a role in the movie.
Mm-hmm. It's like being John Malkovich, except it's Mads Mikkelsen as Kevin Hart, just like shoved in there. He does love Mads Mikkelsen.
No, dude, it'd be like Death Stranding, except the bridge baby. Like The Rock's just wearing Kevin Hart in a container,
just running around with him,
just running around with Kevin Hart.
I love it. I love that idea. I'd rather watch that than whatever this is, to be frank.
I think this looks fine. And you're being a little hard on it.
No. Here's the thing. Like, I think the good movie was good, but like a pleasant surprise. And not like the pleasant surprise that you would call a movie like, let's say, John Wick. Like, when you got pitched the movie like John Wick, like, oh, great, another action movie, whatever. And like, that was a great pleasant surprise where you're like, I need more of this. After I saw Jumanji, I was like, my expectations were so low, like in the toilet, that like I didn't expect it to be watchable, and it's watchable. That to me doesn't mean like you need a sequel for that, you know?
No, I feel you. I mean, it's, you know, look, I'm not, it's not like Jumanji Next Level is on my most anticipated movies list of the rest of the year. I don't even know what that list looks like. But
yeah, I do wonder.
It was inevitable, right? Like this was inevitable since the second that Jumanji 1 or like 2 or whatever we want to call it came out.
Sure. I do wonder if that lack of a surprise will have people disliking this probably more than they should. Like, because now there's a mild expectation. Not like there's a huge expectation, but like you said, Ken Jack, the surprise played a huge factor into how people talked and felt about that movie. And I don't know if we get that for this one. Not quite sure we'll get the same exact feel.
I just, it's so weird that, oh, you know, when I was growing up in sequels, you're like, you'd add characters, you make it bigger, you get a bigger gun for the good guy, you'd have a bigger bad guy, be, you know, wouldn't be as good, but that, you know, you just add stuff to it. And the adding stuff to this is Danny DeVito. And I think that's cool. Like, I don't mind that at all, but it's funny that like, he's a draw. Like, and maybe he's always been a draw, but I think he's probably 70 years old right now. I think in the last stage of his career, he's had definitely a renaissance. For and sure. a lot of it, almost all of it due to It's Always Sunny. Cause a lot of folks have grown up as adults on that show.
I agree with you that he's a draw, but how much is he actually going to be involved? Because again, this is going to be The Rock pretending to be like influenced by Danny DeVito. So you're going to get Danny DeVito in the beginning for the exposition or whatever, but then they're going to take you into Jumanji where it's going to be just The Rock.
I think it looks fine. It's not particularly exciting, but also it's going to do well because it's going to be a movie that families with 8 people in their party are going to be able to show up for.
Correct.
Like, that's just what it is. Like, you know,
it's going to be a big, like, escorting. A lot of kids are going to get escorted out for crying or talking by their parents during the first 2 weeks of this.
It's definitely going to be one of those movies where they might even have to open up the second snack stand at the back. Ooh. that never gets opened up for any reason whatsoever.
Covered in a layer of dust.
It's a big time. You're on Christmas break. Let's go see a movie.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, at least until Star Wars comes out. But even this is probably even easier to shut the brain off with the kids' movie. So,
my family, we always went to a movie on Christmas Day. We're big, mm-hmm. big Christmas Day movie people.
That I never did. I've done Thanksgiving though.
No, dude. Thanksgiving isn't committing enough. Christmas is a straight up commitment.
Okay, fair.
Especially when you're growing up, it's kind of hard because, like, you know, you got a video game, you just want to play on Christmas Day. Your parents, you're like, we're going to a movie. No, I don't want to go see Waterworld. I don't think that's what we saw, but
another sequel. This one though got people very excited. The social media was a poppin' when this got announced last week. There were some hints to it happening. We knew the movie was going to happen, but we had a feeling it might be official last week, and that's Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse 2. It is getting a release date officially, but it is only over basically 2 years from now. It's 2022. I mean, it could be 3 years from now. I imagine it might have a fall release. This is kind of it's kind of a bummer. I don't know. I was kind of hoping this would be sooner, but at the same time, it is cool just to dig things up, see some visuals. Shameik Moore, Jake Johnson, sounds like they'll be back. Haley Steinfeld. Looks like everyone will return plus more. So very excited that this news is official, and it just had me rewatch the movie. I had to fire it back up. If you told me it's the best comic book movie ever made, I don't think I'd really bat an eye. I think I'd just be like, you know, that's a very respectable opinion there. And I'm glad it's getting a sequel. Very well deserved.
I'm looking up when because 2022 sounds pretty far away. But also, the animation was so detailed and mm-hmm. so crazy in Into the Spider-Verse that it wouldn't surprise me if this just takes forever to make.
Yes,
I hope it does. Yeah, I'm glad they're taking their time with it for sure. I don't mind it, but I'm trying to find out going to the production. Trying to go
into, well, like who did the effects for it?
Well, I'm just trying to go like when they started.
Production, let's see. They're starting, it's roughly around 2014.
So that's but
4 years.
But, like,
Sony hack.
They didn't have a script until June 16. And I don't know. It doesn't surprise me that the release date would be.
They announced it in 2015 at Comic-Con. That it was going to, they're making the movie.
Okay.
But that's not, I guess, production starting. So I don't know.
No, I mean, I I think that that timeline, yeah, it does feel like a long time away, but I'm not surprised by that either.
Yeah, no, I definitely think they should take as long as they need for it, because they, like, that is another movie where we were, I wouldn't say like crazy shocked, but like we were very, very, I would say blown away by the level of detail they put into it and just like how much heart was in it and just how unique it was compared to all the other superhero movies that came out, or at least over like the last, I don't know, like 5-10 years. So, I mean, if they are going to make a sequel to this, we always say sequels are super, super difficult, especially when your first, like the first one in your series is so good. So I hope they take as much time as they need to make sure that this is like the most perfect product they can possibly make.
For sure.
Yeah, part of it is too, with this one, the expectations are going to be super fucking lofty. Like
through the roof, man.
So yeah, they're going to be very hard to meet expectations, which fair or not. I mean, that's just, I guess that's the game when you make a movie that won an Oscar in a category dominated by everyone that isn't you, basically. Mm-hmm. And then a movie that probably should have gotten a Best Picture nomination. I mean, like, let's be real here. It was definitely snubbed for a Best Picture nomination.
Man, that fucking, the Hello Danger scene was so, it was absurd.
It's the easiest fucking tweet to get retweets on, by the way. I've tweeted out that fucking clip 3 times. It's got like 11,000 combined retweets. It's it's an engagement maker.
I had a girl this last weekend call me, say I look like Jake Johnson. I still can't decide if that was a compliment or not.
Why wouldn't it be a compliment? Dude? Yeah, he's a good looking dude.
He's like, I think
a humble brag much?
No. Yeah, I think she thought it was a big compliment. And I'm like, that's the guy that plays the stoner loser in every single thing he's ever been in his entire life. So,
yeah, but she said you look like him. You don't, like, your persona reminds me.
The association of it still is like, I think, of a stoner loser. And I was just like, I don't know.
Can you believe that somebody just said I look like the love interest to Zooey Deschanel?
But that's because he's a lovable loser in that show. No, I mean, I'm not a big New Girl guy, but.
Oh man,
Trill texted us. My wife said I look like Ryan Gosling.
Look, guys. No, it's not even close to the same thing. All right, it's not humble bragging here. I think he's like not an ugly person, obviously, but like I think he's a slightly above average looking person that is known as being the lovable loser and basically everything he's ever been in. Correct? No, wrong there?
No. I mean, I get it. Like I, from a standpoint where like you want to be compared to a celebrity, like maybe you'd want to be compared to a bigger name celebrity is what you're saying.
Yeah. So like, I know it's not even necessarily that, like we did that gradient app thing and like, I got Nick Jonas there and like Nick Jonas, I have no idea what Nick Jonas is like. He might be like the worst human being alive, but he's just like known as being Joe Jonas. And I was like, at least he's hot. Like he's hot. And I think that's universally agreed upon. I don't know how many people universally agree that Nick Jonas is like a stud or something.
I mean, as long as you're not Kevin Jonas, right?
Yeah, that's much better. You don't want to be like
doing fine, by the way.
Letting you know, guys.
Yeah.
What's the third like Hemsworth brother, like Barty Hemsworth? Like you don't want to be that one.
The one
Barty Hemsworth.
You don't want to be Bert Hemsworth.
Chad Hemsworth.
Matt Hemsworth.
Yeah, Spider-Verse coming out. Do you 2022. Hang on a second. Actually, you can continue your point, but there is a date on this movie. I don't know why I said I didn't know. This movie comes out April 8th, 2022. So it will be about a year, 2.5 years. Anyway, continue, Trill.
I'm like one of the three people that still check TMZ regularly, I guess, just because it's the muscle memories. Like
so watching that guy in his giant big gulp just yelling at people. yelling at Eric Andre.
What was that movie where they parodied
Popstar.
That?
Popstar.
Yeah, that's right.
Popstar, yeah.
Just but after Miley Cyrus and Hemsworth, I forget which Hemsworth, Liam split. They posted an article. It's like Liam Hemsworth looking downtrodden after like split, and it's just him wearing sweatpants looking very attractive. I'm like, God damn it.
Looking hot as shit.
Like, what is wrong with you guys? He's going through a tough time. Like, you don't have to make this worse on him. He looks fine. He's wearing sweatpants. Like, Nike released Tech Fleece just to make this okay.
It's literally the most, like, it's the most acceptable time to be wearing sweatpants is like right now. You're in the best point to be wearing them.
Oh, there's never been a time where wearing sweatpants has been more encouraged.
Imagine being like Justin Theroux. I would wear gray sweatpants every day of my life. Like never wear underwear. I would just be wearing gray sweatpants, commando, everywhere I went, like to the red carpet, like to my wedding, everywhere. Show it off if you got it. And if you're hot.
He's got that, you know, remember the opening scene, well, his opening scene in Leftovers, and I just watched it where he's just jogging.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, and he's just fucking, he's definitely one of those actors that does a jogging scene, and you're like, he probably does jog.
Mm-hmm. Yep. He's very just has the right, like, sort of, I don't know, like, gait to his run, and you're just like, he's done this before.
He's definitely got a pair of Hoka Ona Onas with more than 700 miles on him.
Oh, 100%. Mm-hmm. Oh, he tracks that shit, boy. I'll tell you what.
Speaking of good-looking people, how about The Witcher? Trailer for Netflix's The Witcher, a series. But it's got Henry Cavill in it. We've talked about this before. This is kind of a big-time full trailer, though. This show, or rather series, I guess, is the proper terminology, debuts December 20th. I still can't quite get over looking at Henry Cavill like this. It's just, it's a weird contrast to me seeing him with long, flowing silver hair. It just doesn't play right in my mind. But did we like this? This is more up the alley of you guys than it is mine in terms of shows, I feel like. I don't think
it's probably going to be shitty.
I don't think it's going to be bad. I just like this. I don't know. I don't know on this one. Not my thing.
I like the lore of The Witcher. I only played Witcher 3. I haven't played the other ones, but I got caught up. I know this is certainly something where, Lord of the Rings, of course, but the recent success of Game of Thrones have paved the way for something like this to be popular. Because it is, you know, it is based off of Polish books. The main thing about Henry Cavill in this role is he doesn't look old enough for me to be like, that's Geralt. And I don't know how old Geralt's going to be, supposed to be, but like he's like a young guy. And I don't know. It's like he doesn't fill that mental picture I have of what a actor would look like playing Geralt of Rivia.
So I think that a lot of people still sort of don't grasp that. I think it's not based off the video games at all. Like, it's based off the books, which are obviously have a ton of like differences from the actual video game. And I think a lot of this is going to be taking place around the younger version of him, I'm assuming.
Okay.
So maybe that makes sense, but I kind of agree with you. And also, like, as much as I love Cavill, like, when I think of Geralt, I think of like a more gaunt person, you know what I mean? Like, lean jacked. And like, he's just fucking massive, and there's nothing he can do about it. He's just a humongous, beefy human being.
But see,
and I was expecting someone a little more like, again, like lean jacked.
I think they could have gone more jacked, though.
Geralt, you want to look super, like a fucking geek? He looks like a Gears of War character.
He's super jacked, dude.
No, but he's lean jacked, is what I'm saying.
He looks like a Rob Liefeld character.
No, I think he's just too dense in this. I expect. I'm trying like what's his name? I'm expecting Brad Pitt and Troy jacked. You know what I mean? Mm. Where it's like, damn, that person's jacked as shit, but also they probably only weigh like 200 pounds and have a BMI of 1.
What about Justin Theroux jacked? Just what we're talking about.
Exactly. Yeah. It's like that, except a little bit bigger, I would say.
He's got that like deep V physique.
Yes. You know?
Where that
V taper, dude.
Yeah. Well, just even like the ability to wear a deep V neck t-shirt.
Mm-hmm.
So you gotta have that certain like jacked but skinny physique.
Yes. That's what I'm saying. Skinny jacked is what I was expecting more of. And like, maybe that's just because of the series or whatever. And he just looks massive, dude. And he's sitting in that tub
with
his fucking 60-inch chest. And I was just like, dude, you're massive. And I love you, but I don't know.
Ken Jack's epic posts in the bodybuilding.com forums, like my different types of jacked, skinny jacked, fat jacked.
You got fat jacked. You got skinny jacked. You got half your Bjorgensen. That's big jacked.
Well, he's technically an Indo-Meso body type. So I would say like reduce the carb intake and protein. Well, that's your advice for everyone. No, but especially for Meso.
I just say he's got to cut those carbs down, maybe go a little paleo, start doing a little more cleaning jerks.
Do you remember that thread on the bodybuilding.com forums that was them arguing about how many days were in a week?
Yes, yes, dude. Bodybuilding.com forums had some of the dumbest conversations ever known. That was so bad. But I think this looks like visually okay. And that's hard when you have something that has like magic and shit in it. Like, you can easily default into it not looking awesome. But like, when they showed him doing like Axie or whatever, the force bullshit, like, it looked decent. And I do like Cavill a lot. I don't really know much about the rest of this cast, but I mean, I hope it's good. Love Cavill, and I like the actual lore of The Witcher from the video games. But again, not based off the video games, based off the books.
Yeah. No, I'm 100% with you. I love The Witcher video games, but
I feel like there are going to be a lot of people talking about The Witcher saying this is, well, there probably are already people talking about The Witcher, and it's probably not people who like listen to this podcast, but big fans of the video game who've only played The Witcher 3, and they're saying, well, this is what Geralt should look like. And it's like, you know, like, whatever. Like, that was your introduction to this. It is, it's apparently just a gigantic thing in Poland, right? Like, this is their version of Twilight. Because I would say Twilight's are equivalent to a cultural phenomenon.
Wait, sure.
Really?
Yeah, they love it.
The Witcher book series? I'm pretty sure it's huge in Poland.
Yeah, they love it.
They love it.
I mean, you're being very earnest, so I believe you. But that's also, I feel like, I don't know.
But I think that's how the video game, like the developers, Polish, CD Projekt Red. Mm-hmm. And so, like, that was... kind of took off that way to the rest of the world. But in Poland, I think it was I said Twilight, but maybe more of a Game of Thrones, because I feel like, I don't know what the popularity of Game of Thrones is outside of the United States, but it feels like something that'd be pretty low outside of the US.
What did you think of his voice? Like, he kind of sounds like Geralt.
Yeah, he's good.
I always call him Geralt.
Geralt.
He's good. I think
Gary
a lot
V.
of the
Witcher series.
A lot of it will be how creepy they can make the show, and how, yeah, like, because one of the things I liked about The Witcher 3, the video games, I like their depiction of vampires.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they look scary as shit.
Yeah, they're just fucking frightening. Like that one mission with the vampire, like in the city or whatever, and he was just stalking people.
The hags, too.
And the crones. Like
water
all
hags, the crones.
Yeah, so a lot of that will be dependent on like how creepy I think they can make it in terms
their
of
effects budget and all that shit too. I don't know who actually the budget of the show at all. So, and with series, obviously it's difficult to like maintain like a really super high VFX standard. So, I mean, we'll see. Hopefully it works out.
The bottle episode is just 60 minutes of him in the bathtub.
I wouldn't mind that. Just him looking at Yennefer? Looking at them purple eyes.
And Triss.
Yep, and Triss, that love Yennefer triangle. Triss.
So one of the few video games I played that features nudity in the video game. And when I was playing it, my wife walked in like at the exact moment, like characters were getting nude. She looked at the screen. She's like, is there nudity in this video game? I'm like, yeah.
Duh.
What do you think?
In all the video, have you seen the latest Madden?
Mm-hmm. Just going dicks out in Madden.
It's a cheat code.
That's the hog coffee mod.
It's like inner cheat code. Hog wild. Like achievement unlocked.
Teddy Bridgewater's mobility goes down to zero immediately. All right, I think we've exhausted video
Greg,
game talk.
Greg Olson. Like, I've got to draft him.
Third
he
leg.
Said so in college. I don't even see it. That's what he said in his rap.
It's his words. We don't know for sure. Brett Favre's mobility goes up to like 90. Poor guy.
He doesn't play in the league anymore, man.
Yeah, I know, but that is, it's the one dick that we're just going for dicks we've seen.
That sounds like a podcast.
Dicks we've seen.
Now I'll tell you what, that is a fantastic lead into this next ad read, because guys have tried different ways to last longer.
Mm-hmm.
But thinking about...
Is Brett it Roman? Dick,
but thinking about nudity and Madden, I don't know. What's your pick here?
I just think about Brett Favre's pink little wiener, and I try to last longer, and it doesn't work.
The folks at Roman, an online men's health company, are changing the game with Roman Swipes, the secret to successfully lasting longer. Roman Swipes are a clinically proven way to last longer in bed. They're effective, easy to use, and fast-acting, but they don't require a prescription. They ship you swipes in discreet, unmarked packaging, which makes it great, and each swipes packet is small enough to hide in your wallet for whenever you need it. Swipes are great. And that they won't transfer to your partner, so you can last longer without worrying. They're super easy to use. Just take the swipes out of the packet, swipe it on, let it dry, and you're good to go. When you go to GetRoman.com/lights, LIGHTS, you can get your first month of swipes for just $5 when you choose a monthly plan. If you use the link GetRoman.com/lights, that's GetRoman.com/lights. Terminator Dark Fate bombed at the box office this weekend.
Did it?
Here is the quote.
You sure?
According to The Wrap, Dark Fate grossed about $29 million in its first 3 days. That figure is just above the $27 million debut for Terminator Genesis, the 2015 reboot that performed so poorly. Its planned sequels were canceled. Even more concerning is Dark Fate couldn't even top the unadjusted opening for Judgment Day, which opened to $31.7 million back in 1991. The Dark Fate won the weekend will come as little solace, or that Dark Fate won the weekend will not help much. It boasted a $185 million production budget, which is higher than almost everything this year, including some Marvel movies, which obviously are known for having large budgets. Not good for this franchise. And I'll tell you what, it might be done. Like, right?
I mean, they brought back Cameron, and if this means they can't still make money with Jimmy C back, that's bad. Bad news.
Like, this just might be over. Yeah.
It's real bad news. Can you make a GIF, or can somebody make a GIF of, like, just James Cameron as Sarah Connor, and then it's the bomb going off, except it's Dark Fate, and him just getting roasted into a skeleton, like from T2, while holding onto that poor fence?
I'm sure someone could fire that GIF up.
This the Terminator is prime territory for a streaming service show. So it's gonna. I think it's juiced out the box office. People are tired of it. I don't think people care anymore. I don't know whether or not people will ever care again. I can't say that. It seems like this was kind of the last gasp in terms of bringing Hamilton back. You have Schwarzenegger back. And he's been in some of the previous ones, but
I'm excited when you said Hamilton back for a quick second. Almost like I was like, oh shit, like back in theaters, on the play, that is. Like, not even joking. Like, when you just said that, I was like, I thought you were trying to make a reference to something else.
Oh, I wasn't. I was commenting on the movie itself.
Linda Hamilton. Yeah.
Yeah. It's Linda Hamilton's back. So it's almost like, yeah. Okay. Well, what if this movie was 100 out of 100? Like, what would it have done there? Like, maybe it would have done a little bit better, word of mouth or whatever, but it's never going to be that way. I don't think they can make that anymore. But what I do think they can make is a entertaining 8-episode season per season. Sorry, I'm going back and forth between the British definition of a Terminator TV show that will eventually be on some sort of streaming service. And
Sarah Connor Chronicles, basically what you're saying.
Yeah. I mean, what's old is new, right? But I think this one would probably have like a little more budget behind it. And I think the audience would be there for that. But I just don't think that. I don't think that the Terminator is a box office draw anymore. And I don't want to say anymore because it's not like the last one did gangbusters either. But it's not surprising, right? It's definitely not surprising. I mean, we've been watching the trailers. The most surprising thing about this was that the movie ended up, I know you didn't love it. You guys sound like you didn't love it. But it doesn't sound like it's as bad as I thought it was going to be coming in. But I completely understand why people wouldn't want to go see this. So it's not that intriguing.
I think it's better than I thought it was going to be. Like, I enjoyed a decent amount of it. It just wasn't overly original. And I think that there was an opportunity here for it to sort of, I don't know, do something different. Like, an example I was thinking of was like the Wolverine movies. So like Wolverine or X-Men Origins Wolverine, terrible. The Wolverine, not that great either. And then they had Logan. And Logan just did something like totally different and involving the same character. And they managed to make an awesome movie that was both critically super well received and did really well at the box office. So I was maybe hoping just with Jim Cameron back behind it that they were able to do something like that, but they really weren't at all. And it just isn't overly original, which is kind of a bummer. So
who owns Terminator?
I want to say, we were just talking about it. What's his name with this?
It's Paramount, right?
Like, who owns the actual IP?
I mean, Viacom owns Paramount.
Okay.
Right. Like, I'm pretty sure Viacom or Paramount's a subsidiary of Viacom. And I'm sure Viacom is going to be doing something if they're not doing it already. Although I'd imagine like they own like a lot of the networks, right? They own like,
well, that would mean the CBS All Access have movies because Viacom is CBS, right?
Right.
I don't know if they have movies. Because I don't have a password to CBS All Access.
Me neither.
So I can't tell you.
And never will.
I actually cannot tell you.
So the Sarah Connor Chronicles aired on Fox, but was produced by Warner Brothers Television. So I don't know what that means. So you guys are smarter. You tell me.
Hmm. Yeah, I'm not sure where it would land. 20th Century Fox distributed this movie internationally. I don't know. That's a good question where it would land. But it also seems like things aren't landing in the most obvious of spots either. Things are just landing kind of not according to network in some places. Some are according to network. So I don't really know where this would go. But I think streaming is it's kind of its last hope. I think you're right, Sean. I think this is, you said it earlier on in the show, I think this is a turning point this year for studios to look at movies. And like DC already did it. DC already changed course with the DCU failing, and they have pumped out a couple of successful things. They've made sure Wonder Woman stays all hot and alive under its own guy, like kind of solo like guys, right? Aquaman worked out really well for them. The Joker obviously working out insanely well. So the rest of these studios have to do the same. I mean, they just got to stop with this. Like, I feel like James Cameron's going to put the foot down and be like, all right, we're done. Let's just move on. Like, this is not working at all.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Unless they get something like revolutionary script or some huge director wants to sign on. I mean, Tim Miller is an awesome director, but still.
But I think like, you know, the main crux, the biggest story point of the Terminator franchise is obviously the tension in the war between humans and robots. And I mean, this is obviously something that has been explored in media, and science fiction writers have been doing this since, you know, the first computers using punch cards were made. Like, I get it. But in terms of major media or movies or television covering stuff like this, like, Terminator was my first exposure to the whole concept of computers versus humans. Mm-hmm. And for me, this was quite novel as a 5-year-old in the 90s. But even growing up, for like people of my generation, I think this was one of the first franchises. And you know, anytime you hear the word Skynet, you automatically think of a malignant computer presence hell-bent on destroying humans. But I think in years since, like, not only has our reality come closer to that, and not to be over dramatic, like not in like the same ways, but I do think technology has infringed on our lives in different ways. And I think it's less of a concept people care about within the setting of the Terminator universe anymore.
Yeah, I think there's just not a lot of room to operate with, which is kind of, I guess, what you're saying, right? Like, there's just the novelty of that is sort of gone now. Like, I think maybe Black Mirror is the only thing really picking up on that well enough, where it's like, it still intrigues you. And even that is like, that novelty sort of wore thin after a couple seasons. So, I mean, I don't know. They just, you need to have a more original concept than what they were. When we'll talk about it when we review the movie, but you need a more original concept than they ended up delivering.
Yeah, I've seen that complaint as well, too, is that like they want to stick so heavily on course correcting and changing timelines and keeping up with Sarah Connor. And it gets to a point where it's becoming not interesting. It's becoming the same thing. And it's also kind of soiling the brand, too. I feel like at a point, if you're James Cameron, you're like, all right, this sketch has to fucking stop.
Yeah, like, especially because like, T2 is one of the best action movies of all time. Like, you'd really don't want that soiled by something like
that. It's a perfect movie on Rotten Tomatoes.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and then the first two, they're two of the best movies, two of the best one and twos ever made in any form of entertainment. So
totally agree.
Yeah, tough, very tough. We'll talk much more about the movie and break down why it wasn't great. It's better than Genesis in my eyes, but still not out. It's just not that great. But like you said, Trill, I don't think 100% of Rotten Tomatoes would have made much of a difference. I don't think reviews really impacted it all that much. I think the interest isn't there.
Oh, and also part of the hugeness for the second Terminator, at least, was how revolutionary the special effects were. Mm-hmm. And I, in the same way, you know, it feels like we used to have huge jumps in computing year after year. Like, technology got exponentially more impressive, at least to the consumer. We felt that way with movies. And I don't feel like the same technological advances that are at least noticeable to the layperson are still happening. I think they're very incremental. I think it's stuff like aging technology, like, which is going to be refined, and or de-aging and aging, which is going to be refined and refined. And certainly CGI has gotten better. But I think the advance between what had came out before Terminator 2 and what came out with Terminator 2 was so mind-blowing, just in terms of the liquid CGI technology.
Well, that was an improvised scene. We know this now.
Yes. Robert Patrick's incredibly talented. I think part of that was part of the big draw for that movie, just what were the special effects that were on display. And I think you've seen that before, right? Like, I think there are movies that have somewhat pushed the envelope in years since, like Avatar, another James Cameron one being one of those, with like certainly a great use of 3D. You don't get that in all other movies, and great use of CGI. And I think that's aged kind of well. But I just, you know, like the last one we talked about in terms of pushing the envelope in terms of a technological advancement was
Gemini Man.
But the, you know, year after year, what seems to be the one that I think, like, at least like I'm saying to a layperson, the Pixar movies seem to be the best display for like the ability to get better and better at computer animation.
Sure.
But those are almost like, you know, you never get to see, like, they're never huge leaps, they're progressions, right? And so it's probably more apparent if you were frozen cryogenically in 1997 after watching Toy Story and get up and watch Coco today. You're like, holy shit. But I don't think you notice it as much when you've just been watching those movies year after year.
I think it's good that those are like that you could draw people in with new technological advancements or whatever, and like something new that you're bringing to screen. But I think it's also important that you have a good story, right? So like a movie like Terminator T2 and all that, story is really, really good. So, I mean, the technology is awesome on top of it, but you're also just locked in with a great plot. And a movie like Gemini Man just doesn't have that. And even that's how I think we kind of look back sourly on like a movie like Avatar. Like, I think when it's one where we watched it and we sort of had that like honeymoon moment where we're like, oh shit, like those effects are really cool. Like it looked great. It was beautiful. The music was great, blah, 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 blah. And then like we go revisit it after a few years and we're like that plot was kind of dumb as shit. Like it was just like Dances with Wolves in Space. Almost exactly. So I think you do need just like a good story more than almost anything else. But then I think the effects has to be not the only thing you're offering.
Well, the other thing too is you know, Terminator 2 is a spectacle. We still have spectacle movies. It's just, I think that was a spectacle in its own right because Schwarzenegger obviously I think was the biggest action star in the world at the time. It was a sequel. There were cool special effects that people wanted to see, but now the spectacles are the Marvel movies. And part of that is, yeah, because they look cool. But the other part is there's a larger conversation that you don't want to miss out on that's happening around these movies. And what's built into people going see these movies is the ability to communicate, talk about it, and meme these movies. And it sounds laughable, but I do think that's a huge component. So when I see movies like this that are based off of like old properties, and yeah, it sucks to say Terminator's old, but like, yeah. Because they are still trotting out Arnold Schwarzenegger in his 70s in this movie. The social conversation isn't there, which again, sounds stupid to say, but I think that's a big part of box office success now. It's like there needs to be a draw based around something that people want to talk about. And
yeah, Joker.
Yeah, obviously the Joker. There needs to be a draw based around this FOMO of actually going to see the movie on day one, day two, day three. And if you don't do that, you're going to be missing out on something. You're not going to be able to talk about it or get in on the memes or whatever. And that just doesn't happen for Terminator now. And so you get what you get here is a disappointing box office weekend because it's not equipped to do those numbers in 2019 because it's not a critical part of our pop culture anymore.
Well, it's also partly why I always am surprised when trailers and such and marketing reveal so much, especially these days, where the word of mouth of something insane happening makes you want to go. Where, you know, if you saw the Emperor in the trailer, I'm not saying people wouldn't see Star Wars if they saw the Emperor in the trailer, but that's an example. Like, that's a recent one. They didn't show the Emperor. Like, that gives someone intrigue who might be kind of...
I want to see his old ass.
Yeah.
I want to see that wrinkly old bitch.
Yeah, they're like, fuck, now I got to go see it. I got to see her right away. It's going to be a big reveal. Or teasing those types of things, even if they let people down. This, I think, as much as anything recently, is a very good study for that. Because it's not some big connected universe. It's just a franchise. The big guy behind the movies was back for this one, apparently. And it's obviously a flop, and I don't see anything that is going to like spark the box office. It's going to stay that way. So this could be an end for this franchise, which is a shame because the first two are legendary movies, absolute fucking classics.
Mm-hmm.
One more thing, and then we're going to talk about Green Lantern, and that is the Apple TV Plus streaming service, which launched on Friday. And the question here is poor performance by original content on release gonna hurt any of these platforms, specifically this one? Off the top, they released four big shows. They released For All Mankind with Joel Kinnaman, alternate universe about NASA and the space race, if the Russians had landed first. Very, very alternate history, by the way. They do change up a lot of things in this. I've watched two of these now. That is a 74% on Rotten Tomatoes from critics. Audience gave it an 84. Then there's Dickinson with Haley Steinfeld. it's the like kind of the modern twist on Emily Dickinson. 72 from critics, 89 from audience. I've not watched that one yet. I did watch this one, The Morning Show. 59% from audience. This has dropped significantly. Or excuse me, 59% from critics. Large audience score, though, 94%. And then C. C has a 39% ratings from critics, 81 from audience. I am curious if word of mouth will help this one, because it looks like the audiences do enjoy these movies more than the critics do. But critically speaking, they're kind of getting crapped on. I thought For All Mankind was decent. I think Joel Kinnaman, Kendrick, you might not love to hear this. I thought the acting a little clunky from our guy Joel. Maybe he's too focused on Suicide Squad.
He's laser focused on being Colonel Rick Flagg. That requires all your attention. It's method acting. It takes method acting, dude.
Yeah, yeah.
And Altered Carbon season 2, which actually he's not in.
They're like, hey, you're not acting like a astronaut. Oh, too focused on being the Colonel. The Colonel himself, Rick Flagg.
The Colonel Rick Flagg, 1G. Or 2G.
I've not watched C. I didn't watch Dickinson. And I thought The Morning Show was fine, but I don't really know if it knows what it wants to be, I guess. It's okay. It's okay, and I'll keep watching. I think there needs to be something a little more intriguing. But, I mean, I feel like just with this and any of them, whether it's good audience, bad critic, bad audience, good critic, or just both across the board, it's some of these out-of-the-gate original program things for streaming services that don't have huge, huge, like, pillars to lean on. If they stink, these things are doomed, right?
Not in the case of Apple, I don't think. Apple's something that, this is a bad example. Like, so the original Xbox came out, like Microsoft was getting into gaming, and this was a time when everybody hated Microsoft. Microsoft's been able to rebrand themselves a little bit more now. I think people associate them less with operating systems, which is still probably 99% of the revenue, but at least, you know, they have stores now and they have consumer products and they have a gaming console that people tend to like. I think the sales for the original Xbox were fine, but you know, Microsoft was able to sell them at a loss because they could afford to do that. And I think they could afford to keep themselves in the game while the PlayStation 2 was the highest selling console of all time. So that's stiff competition. So, like, it might be a bad example, but just for the sake of this comparison, like, Apple has such deep pockets that they can stay in this as long as they want. And at this point, their biggest challenge is going to be if they want to buy IP, what already hasn't been purchased by Disney, and what can they buy? And are there any properties that they can snatch up for this that don't belong on someone else's streaming service, and also getting some good originals on it? So, like, I think initially it's definitely messy. It does remind me of a video game console launch where there's probably just like one thing you really want and the rest are like Super Monkey Ball 8.
Like, oh, sure. Man, I love Super Monkey Ball, though. Let's not shit on that.
I know, but it's not a console seller.
No, like, no, yeah.
Like, one of the problems with the GameCube is when the GameCube first came out, the GameCube didn't have a killer app to sell the system. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, N64 had Mario 64. Like, I feel like the model for a lot of these streaming services, you should at least come with one killer show. And that was probably the mistake of Apple right now, is that out the gate, they didn't have anything that became must-see TV. Now, you know, that's obviously easier said than done, right? But I think in terms of all of them, like, Apple is probably better poised to weather the storm and keep the service afloat and subsidize the service as well. Like, I could see them definitely giving out subscriptions for free, you know, if you're on their ecosystem and shit like that, until they get to a point where, like, people actively want to come to Apple Plus. I'm speaking out of my ass, but I
think you bring up really good points.
That's a very good point. Yeah,
I see their foray into this a little less risky just because of their how much they have in cash, than something else like, what are the ones that are kind of teetering on the edge of absurdity?
What do you mean? Like the streaming services,
like,
so I can't imagine like how far Peacock really goes with it, unless it's just they're not trying anything IP or anything original and they're just doing all of their old shows. Like, that makes more sense to me.
Right. Like, and I mean, again, that's NBC, you know, I'm sure they got a lot of money, but like,
oh yeah,
Apple doesn't, I don't feel like in terms of that entertainment production, Apple probably doesn't have that overhead that other organizations might have. Mm-hmm. And therefore they can just go out and buy whatever they want because they can afford whatever they want. So I think long term they'll be fine. It's certainly disappointing they don't have a killer app on it already, but what are you going to do?
Yeah, so I kind of think that I agree with you that they just have the deep pockets, right? Like they can just keep going until something sticks. Like that should kind of be their MO. Like just keep, you know, fire from the hip. One will eventually take. Like that's just like a law of averages sort of. And I think that they have a kind of unique position because I don't tell me if you guys agree with this. I think Netflix is kind of going to take a hit in like the next like 2-3 years, just with all the other streaming services coming out. I'm sure some people are
going to. I think it's inevitable no matter how good they are, no matter what they do. I mean, just it's come. It's like, yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. So they're going to take a hit. And I think that Apple has an opportunity to kind of be like the service that's making really original shows and like good original content that isn't kind of tied into Disney at all or any of that stuff. Like they can be the guys making something like Stranger Things or a House of Cards or whatever, and like throwing it out to other masses, and they can be the creative guys. Sort of like how they used to brand their shit back in like the 80s and 90s where they're like, yeah, don't be the machines PC, be like the Mac, be like the original guys, be the artistic people. And like, that could be that pocket that they advertise to and feed to. But, you know, it's going to take, I think, a bigger effort than just throwing Steve Carell and Jennifer Aniston on the same screen together and saying, watch this.
Well, and that's a risk. That's IP is king, right? Because what's eventually going to happen is once everybody gets their streaming services run, you've already started to see this. They're going to start pulling The Office from Netflix. They're going to start pulling this and that from Netflix. So unless you obviously own the IP, you're screwed in this scenario. And that's Apple's disadvantage. But where they have the advantage over Netflix is Apple can go out and just flick their wrists and buy shit.
Yeah,
I think Netflix is probably more beholden to managing the expectations of their entire business model, whereas this is just one division of Apple that's being subsubsidized by their gargantuan businesses elsewhere.
Focusing more on trying to get IP to show or doing and not doing as much original stuff?
Well, I mean, they should obviously the focus should be putting stuff you own on the streaming network.
Sure. Like,
that should be the focus for anyone, because you're always going to be at risk of that shit that you're buying to show for a limited time being pulled when somebody else shows it on their network. So the question is do you, like, where do you look for that? Like, do you go in house or do you buy A24?
Like, that was literally what I was about to say, because A24 is one that I just always think of.
Or do you buy these production houses that are putting out things that have talented people in place to do it? And like, look, and I know, like, I think it sucks. Like, you wouldn't want to see all these like organizations being bought and acquired by Apple and then put in place. Like, the consolidation ultimately sucks. Like, let's not get it twisted. You know, we talk a whole lot about like how we like seeing Disney own The Simpsons and how funny that is, but I think overall it's bad for the industry. But I do think that's what's going to happen. Is Apple's probably, like, the question is, do you buy the producers of the IP or do you buy the IP themselves? I don't know.
Sure.
Yeah. It, the A24 one is very interesting to me, and maybe it's something that we've just completely fucking made up in our heads. Because I feel
like, seem like a natural marriage.
It does. But I feel like we're the only people who fucking said anything. I could be wrong.
It's an aesthetic fit.
Yeah, exactly.
It's when you think they're both, you see the logos for both of them. You're like, I could see the A24 logo being shown next to an Apple logo with Tim Cook talking about it.
Exactly. I considered actually being that for Halloween. I was going to just wear a shirt that said 24 and just say, like, yeah, I'm A24.
Oh, maybe 24. We didn't make this up in our head. Didn't Apple, they've been in bed together for literally a year since last year. They're going to produce a slate of films for them. Not the exact same thing, obviously, but it looks like, you know,
together. Yeah.
It's an early work together. Okay. I didn't think we made that up, but because I know we've talked about it a bunch and it does make sense for them. I just like, imagine them getting like these types of movies, right? Like it just makes sense for Apple, and then Apple able to fund these smaller budget type things or more creative projects that you wouldn't see from big studios. That just seems like the absolute perfect fit. I like it. I hope it goes much further down the line there, because I think that would be big for us. I mean, imagine being able to get The Lighthouse or movies like that out to a wider audience and to make them more mainstream. Like that would be a pretty good shot in the arm for the movie industry. So I think that would be good. Speaking of Peacock, by the way, the NBC streaming service, that apparently might be free with ads, with the option.
Yeah, which, fuck that.
Which that sounds great, right? But I would, if I'm going to get it, I'm just going to get it so I don't have to watch ads. That one is going to have all the Universal stuff. So that's everything from Fast franchise, all that. And then they're rebooting Saved by the Bell, Battlestar Galactica, Punky Brewster, and they're rebooting
Punky
The Office.
Punky Brewster. Fucking kidding me.
I at least like the option that they're giving free with ads. Cause I did, there probably are, I mean, I don't know. It's hard to talk about this because it's all for profit. But if you think back to TV and you think about like where it's gone, we're having to pay a la carte for every single thing, which like at the start of the whole cable cutting thing was kind of funny because, you know, everyone was saying, well, I don't need cable anymore. And I just got Netflix and all this. And now you're essentially going to be paying an entire cable's bill worth of streaming platforms every month. It's just the way things are going. But I mean, it's also like, I think there should be options of these networks, at least the networks put out for people to be able to access this stuff without paying for it. Just going along with the history of over the air TV, I think that seems pretty fair.
Yeah.
I think it's good for people who, like, if you want to see an NBC show and like you just don't have a lot of money, yeah, that's kind of cool. Like you can watch it, you just need to suffer through the ads. Like for me in college, I would love that shit. I used to do that all the time. I think when, I streamed Lost on what network was
it? Hulu. Probably Hulu.
No. Like what network did it air on? Was it CBS?
ABC.
ABC. So I watched that on the ABC website, like their streaming service, which had a shit ton of ads on it. And I didn't care because streaming was at the time like more innovative. I want to say it was probably like 2010 to 2009 or something. And I was like, this is awesome. I don't care about the ads. But like now at this point, I'm just personally too spoiled by the fact of not having ads on the things I already pay for, or in Hulu's case, don't pay for. Thank you, Trill and Mrs. Bones. So I'm just too spoiled. Can't do the ad life anymore.
Well, the interesting thing too is that ads, like whatever, like if you're watching The Office and you have ads, like at least that's a mildly normal thing, right? Because the show was built with ads in mind. So
I think I agree with that. For people who like watch The Office on TV, that makes sense. But now for this new generation of Office fans, they all watched it on Netflix, so they don't even know like that at all.
Sure, but it's still a shorter runtime, I guess is what I'm saying. You're definitely right. It's a shorter runtime where like imagine watching an HBO show with that. Imagine watching these like hour plus long shows that will be the originals type things with ads. Like that becomes like that's a long time. That's a lot of things to watch. You're watching, you know, if it's an hour show, you're watching an hour 15, hour 20 maybe. So that's like that significantly adds on. Which I like the option because it's a big goodwill builder too. You know,
for sure.
I feel like people are gonna be like, oh, very nice then, which is what you said, Trill. Like they're still for profit, so I mean they're still making fucking money. But you're at least like, oh, okay, you know what? They're being nice here. So that won't be coming out for a little while though, and that is the one with The Office, by the way, as we did mention. I believe that's it for news though. Do you want to talk about Green Lantern?
Let's know it.
No.
We're doing it anyway, though. Green Lantern came out June 17th, 2011, which is nuts that this came out 3 years after Iron Man, which you can tell it did. You can tell they watched Iron Man a lot before they made this movie. Greg Berlanti, who produced this movie and wrote part of the screenplay, it will also be doing the Green Lantern Corps series for HBO Max. It came out in 2011, like I said. The budget was $200 million. Actually, I'm not going to say how much it made worldwide because we're going to play the box office game with Ryan Reynolds here at the end, which is an interesting one. I've already looked ahead. I've already seen what you guys have to play with here. The synopsis to Green Lantern: sworn to preserve intergalactic order, the Green Lantern Corps have existed for centuries. Its newest recruit, Hal Jordan, played by Ryan Reynolds, is the first human to join the ranks. The Green Lanterns have little regard for humans who have thus far been unable to harness the powers of the ring each member wears. But Jordan, a gifted and cocky test pilot, maybe the corpse only hope when a new enemy called Parallax threatens the universe's universal balance of power. Had a 26% around Tomatoes, 5.5 out of 10 on IMDb, and a 39% on Metacritic. Green Lantern is a big, stinky turd. I gave Green Lantern a couple years ago, I guess 8 years ago, so much more than a couple years ago, a 12 out of 100.
Yeah, I gave it a 25. It's not good. It's not good. It's also been admitted as being not good by a lot of people involved. Well, maybe not a lot of people.
Basically everyone except the studio.
Yeah, Ryan Reynolds acknowledges it. So it's not a secret. It came at a weird time, like Jeff was saying. I mean, part of it was I feel like a reaction to Iron Man and not really being able to get why Iron Man was good. And it was just messy and it made me feel bad.
Yeah, I think I would give it a 30. It just kind of sucks because I don't think they realized the sort of potential of the Green Lantern hero. Like, they just wanted to make something that would make money, and they just didn't have a good vision for the character. It feels like they just didn't, like, get somebody that understood Green Lantern to make it, which apparently I guess they did since I'm going back to the well with the same guy. But it just felt like a big wasted opportunity. The effects looked like shit, and it just was very predictable and boring. And just, there's not much more to say about it, but we're going to say a lot more about it.
This is by far the lowest rated movie that we've done for throwback reviews. It comes in at a 22 out of 100. 21 from the audience. The combined scores of the four of us, which includes the audience, does not even reach 100. So that's bad. Good has come out of this movie, but not because of what was good in the movie. We obviously had the post-credit scene with Deadpool. They have some references in Deadpool. I think this stressed a lot of what not to do. Like, this being made helped, I think, other comic book movies like be better, even though there's still been a lot of bad ones that have come out. But this one showed a lot of mistakes that can't be made. A lot of it surrounding CGI. Yes. And the use of CGI for the suit and the mask. I think that was the big thing. It's probably the most memorable part of this movie is that they CGI'd the Green Lantern suit and mask on Ryan Reynolds for some reason, and it is one of the worst effects of all time.
Hmm. It's very bad looking, and seeing it in motion is so much worse, which is an obvious statement, but you gotta go see it. It's not good.
It's the inconsistency too, right? Like, mm-hmm. In some scenes it's real, like at least the pants are real, kind of like when he's in the ground in a couple scenes. In other scenes, like, his body proportions are wildly off.
Mm-hmm.
Just distractingly off. And I think the thing that takes the eye away the most is the neck, right? Like, yes. His collar, the line between his skin and the CGI suit is, it's the only thing you look at. When there's a close-up of his face, it's the only thing you look at, if you're not looking at his CGI eyeballs, which might be the other thing you're looking at.
It's like a weird phenomenon too, because like, it's... If you're having the hero do a bunch of like action sequences where he's flying around and shit, like, yeah, obviously CGI the crap out of that. But if he's just fucking standing there, like, why would you CGI it? Like, they're trying to really go for, I think, that whole, like, whenever he would do an effect with the actual ring, like, his suit would charge up and look like it was interfacing with the ring. And like, that part, like, I get it looked cool, but I think you could have had that be like just a practical suit and whatever made the CGI effect after. You didn't need to have him wearing like a fucking It's Always Sunny Green Man suit for the entire fucking movie. It just looked ridiculous.
I think part of it was like, I mean, that's kind of where it felt like a reaction to Iron Man. I mean, just overall, to me, it felt like, you know, Iron Man came out. We got to get something out, but we don't want to rush into doing Batman, because Batman's still being done, right, at this time. Because Dark Knight
had already come out.
Yeah, Dark Knight Rises was a year away.
Yeah.
A year away. So Dark Knight Rises came out in 2012. So Batman's still ongoing. We can't do that. Superman is too, right? Like, when was the last Superman movie?
Before that is Superman Returns.
Yeah, Superman Returns.
And actually, did Man of Steel already come out at that point or no?
No, I think Man of Steel was like 2013, right?
Yeah, Superman Returns came out like 2006, right?
Yeah. Shout out Brandon Routh.
Yeah, Man of Steel was a little ways after.
Yeah, 2013, yep.
Yeah, they promoted it as... from the producers of The Dark Knight. That was like part of the tagline.
Mm-hmm.
So, they got their own things going on with this movie, but in terms of just taking a second tier superhero like Iron Man was, not anymore, but Green Lantern, obviously not Batman or Superman. I know there are a lot of Green Lantern stands, certainly one of the biggest DC characters, but there are a lot of DC characters, not on the level of those guys. And then trying to go the Iron Man route of just having a completely CGI body and a lot of unnatural looking things. It doesn't work if you're not wearing a big robot suit. It just not working for me.
He said too, let's pull the quote up. This is from Digital Spy. He said, the suit has to be virtual rather than spandex. This is a suit from an alien planet. It's not the Dark Knight. I don't put the suit on and my voice drops several octaves. The suit is powered specifically on his will, his emotions, creativity, his imagination. I love that. Obviously he was caping for his movie.
Sure.
So he has to say it, but I mean, it definitely didn't have to be. And I want to bring up a movie that I've mentioned on here many times, and that's the Superman Lives, the Nick Cage movie, right? That Superman suit was supposed to look a lot like this, right? Where you saw muscle fibers, if you go and you watch it, there was lights in the suit and it was practical. And that's kind of the same concept here. Like you see muscle fibers, you see it move with his emotion, but like who really needs that? Right. Like it was 2011. If this was like 98 and the only way for them to really do it, like even then, I don't even know. Like you could definitely make something like that practical in 2011. Very possible.
Yeah.
Yeah. They just supplement the suit. I mean, I feel like it had been done before up until that point, like at least with the Fantastic Four, right?
Mm-hmm. Which this movie reminds me of in many ways, mostly the villain being a giant cloud of gas, much like the second fucking Fantastic Four movie.
But even now, I mean, Captain Marvel came out and, you know, that last shot and some of the shots where she's flying, like, and it's all CGI, still doesn't really look all that great. And I mean, this is years after that. So it's tough to do it. I'm not complaining about it. I'm just saying it's something that's really tough to do and it definitely does take you out of it.
But here's my thing with the suit though. Ready? I don't think the suit ruined the movie. Like that's it doesn't help it. And that's the thing that we remember most. But what, like, let's get a thought from each. Maybe we agree on it. What is the thing that made this movie the worst? I'll start it out. I think this movie is terribly edited. And like, that's not something that I say a ton because I don't have that cinematic film mind that really like pulls the editing out. Like, oh my God, this was edited in such in a terrible way. But I feel like this movie is so jumpy and all over the place. And they have these random cuts and moments like off planet or back to Earth out of nowhere that aren't really explained. And they feel so out of place. And like this movie was like haphazardly thrown together at the last second. I think the way the movie's spliced together is the biggest reason why it stinks.
Yeah, I think maybe part of that, and this is something I was reading just on like the production notes for the page, like they were a big time deadlined with this movie. Like they were given a deadline and they had to meet a certain point and they had a shit ton of VFX artists already, but they had to hire like an additional 50 or something in the last 2 months of editing. And that might have played a big role in that because like if you have like this team of VFX people that are working on this movie the entire time, they get the vision or whatever that the director is going for. And if you have to hire a bunch of people on late, I don't know if that hurts just kind of like making sure everyone's in sync all the time in like your final cut of this movie, making sure everything lines up right. I don't really know, again, that process of how VFX editing goes towards creative direction and all that. But I think that might have hurt it there. I don't know if you guys agree.
No, I would agree completely. I guess that makes complete sense lining up with what they say with production. Because I think that it just feels like a movie too that was just made quickly. So that makes sense.
Well, it's part of that's the editing. I mean, it's also 2 hours, which is longish, but they're cramming a lot in there. You got the whole origin story, you got the post origin story. I mean, it's not anything different than what like movies have previously done, but at least like I don't know what like Captain Marvel's runtime was. Let me look that up. Captain Marvel's,
I think it was roughly two, maybe a little bit long.
Yeah, and you definitely, like the other thing is too, Trill, you don't get to the origin of the Lantern for a while in the movie.
Mm-hmm.
You don't see him on Oa, which is just another computer-generated hodgepodge mess. Yeah.
So, I think the thing is it wasn't fun. It's just it's not a fun movie.
I feel like it couldn't decide if they wanted to be like campy and funny or whatever, like almost like kind of more entertaining, like the kind of the value you get out of Deadpool, or is like they wanted to be more gritty and dark like the rest of the DC movies had been up to that point, and even to some extent in the future after that, because it feels like such a departure from all the other DC movies of that era for the most part, right? Like, and just that they just didn't have that collective or that sort of singular vision. It felt like a kind of built by committee.
Yeah, well, I think part of it is also how do we get out from underneath the shadow of Batman and Superman? And I think that's still a question they're trying to figure that out.
For sure.
To this day. Because, I mean, like Batman, obviously the Nolan trilogy is going to go down as, or has gone down as one of the highly regarded comic book movie franchises or trilogies of all time or whatever you want to call it. The Man of Steel and not the Man. Well, yeah, like those movies, I guess, were okay. But like the key thing I take away from this time in the DC movies was like just this overly gritty, overly dark tone, which I think was a function of the 2000s and really what people wanted to see at the time. But this one was almost like it was trying to figure out what the formula was, and that's where I go back to like the whole Iron Man thing, because Because Iron Man was like, you know, Feige kind of figured that one out early on in Iron Man, of how to balance that. And for better or for worse, I think most of the Marvel movies since have followed this formula, and they do it well, and we obviously like them, but it just couldn't quite get it here, and it just it wasn't fun to watch. It was a trudge.
So what I dislike most about this movie is actually just the fact that they went straight to the uber villain right off the bat for Green Lantern. Like, I think almost all DC does this a lot. They rush things too much. Like, you look at Iron Man. Iron Man's origin story villain is literally terrorists and then fucking Ironmonger, who's just like a slightly larger Iron Man. But then, like, for Green Lantern, like, isn't this guy, like, what the fuck is his name? Like, Parthenax or something? Like, they're essentially worst bad guy in the Green Lantern universe.
I don't think Parallax is the biggest. They do tease one at the end of the movie. They tease,
Sinestro.
Yellow Lantern or whatever it's called. I know the lore as well, but...
You have to do smaller scale, though, is what I'm saying. Like, if you're doing an origin story, I think, especially for something like with DC at this point, like, you need to do a small scale villain, and then like they set themselves up for sequel in this, which they obviously didn't deserve, but you set up like a bigger villain in the next one. And I think that they started off with a villain that's so big and so big in scale that like, it just, for me, it takes me out of it, where I'm like, we just met this guy Hal Jordan 5 seconds ago. He's just like a cocky, like whatever human dude. And now he's fighting, doing the ultimate fight. That's like out of this species entire history versus their biggest villain.
Well, they have a big thing, which
I think that's what they did, though, because Parallax isn't the big villain. Like, Sinestro is the arch enemy of Green Lantern.
But he is smart. He's smaller villains, though. Like, I was even reading that, like in the Green Lantern mythology or whatever, like there's a lot of smaller scale villains that they could have started him out with.
Oh, just in terms of scale.
And built him into that in future iterations of it. But I don't know if they were just like, that won't draw people in if we're starting them off too small, but they went too big and it felt rushed. And I think that's a problem. Again, DC has a lot, like even when they went to fucking, who's the guy that kills Superman in Dawn of Justice? Like Doomsday's an uber villain. Like, you can't have someone like that was Superman's second fucking movie. And that's like, you throw him in that early and then you go straight into Justice League where half the characters haven't even been introduced to your series yet. Just everything always feels rushed with DC and nothing ever feels like it has enough time to develop. Maybe it's because they're trying to avoid mistakes that they saw Marvel making, like Thor the Dark World, which is like a steaming shit. And like, they didn't want to do that and like have one that was a waste, but still kind of built up your character's story or arc or whatever. But it just doesn't work for me. And I don't know. I mean, you feel free to disagree, but I just thought that they could have gone.
I think that's really true. Yeah, nothing did work. And they rush it. And I was going to say is they have that this is ring slinging 101 where they try to bring him in and they're like training him.
Oh, that training was so fun.
And it's just like, too. And they make him, it's one thing. Like, look, I get if you're trying to get your superhero to be like strong and like know his powers quick. Like, I get that. That's like part of the game. It's always going to be the case, but you have to kind of bend the rules and make him be good quick. Where that one, they just like, you stink. Like, you suck. You're a bad Lantern. We just beat the living shit out of you. You're worthless and you're trash. And then he just becomes like, it was almost too much on the side of like, this guy's not ready. Like, it almost made it in a sense of like, this guy will never be ready. And I know he channels things and that's kind of how he becomes who he is, but it doesn't really find a good balance or a good way to play off him gaining his powers in a believable way, other than like, I just kind of get to the ring and you just can make cool shit with his mind, I guess, right?
And he doesn't even really make cool shit with his mind. And that's the coolest thing about this power of like the Green Lantern, is it's really only limited by your imagination, right? Like, you can make anything you want that you can think of. And he's like, hey, what if I made a big ass car or more planes or a gun? And it's like, well, you're only limited by what you can think of. And that they felt like it was so limited, right? I don't know if you guys, again, feel very good. He makes planes. He makes fucking planes. Like, you fly planes every day of your life. Make literally anything else.
make something fucking cool. I think that's a big one as well. It's hard to pinpoint. And maybe there isn't just one answer. Maybe there isn't just one answer of why it didn't work. I don't think a lot of the characters are all that intriguing.
Oh, they all suck. Like, Tim Robbins being in this. Totally forgot that.
Yeah, and he's supposed to play the father of Hector Hammond, right?
He was his dad?
Yeah, he's his dad.
I didn't remember that part.
I mean,
they're like the same age.
They look like they're brothers. That might be the least believable thing in the movie. I had no idea until I like had rewatched it. Like, I just either forgot about it or didn't remember it. that he's his father. The Hector Hammond character is kind of annoying because he's just so fucking powerful right off the bat.
He's just like a throbbing pink dick. Like, this evolution until turning into like a human ball sack is just so gross. He looks like a fucking Unabomber with that weird mustache, like receding hairline look. Like, what the fuck? Also, didn't know Angela Bassett was in this, but I looked up the character. That's the same one from Suicide Squad.
Yeah.
Viola Davis plays
Amanda Waller. Yeah. Very weird. It's funny thinking back to Disease Connected Universe and how many cross over with the same characters. The X-Men does that all the time. Like, X-Men just had the same people played by different people.
20,000 Colonel Strikers all played by different people.
Yeah, it being his dad really blew my mind. There's just some stupid-looking chick. He gets that back alley fight. He punches a guy through a brick wall.
Mm-hmm.
Like straight out of like a 50s cartoon.
Zap!
A section of the wall just falls down.
Do you know the guy who played Hammond? That's Peter Sarsgaard from The Slap.
Yes, from The Slap, yes. He is the one having the affair with his student in the show.
Our good boy.
Yeah.
Well, bad boy. Don't have affairs with your students. That's fucked. But I don't know. That part was so seeing him just like looking like a ball sack and just like just screaming all the time. Just all he did was scream. And again, yeah, I agree with you, too powerful. And I think like he might have been solo a better villain than fucking having this giant like cloud guy, bad guy in Parallax. And
yeah, and that's actually no, go ahead, because I agree.
No, I was just going to say, especially because Silver Surfer had come out before this, right? And that they realized like how much people hated that with
the big Galactus. Cloud.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think on its own, Hector Hammond, it would have been okay. I think bringing in the larger villain's a problem because like you have a guy who is, yeah, he's like infected. Maybe you make the tease that Parallax will be there next time. I think that is a big reason why. I think that smaller, creepy, ball sack, big forehead villain would have been okay on its own. Just overstuffed, but that's a classic problem in the late 2000s, early 2010s. Drew, I feel like you're going to fire something off here.
No, I tried to send a gif. It was a sword gif, which I thought was, Green Lantern and Sinestro staring at each other with their glowing green suits.
Mm-hmm.
Very awkward.
Love Mark Strong, though. Such a great villain.
I do think there are some things like I did like the setting and kind of the background work that was done with like the effects. I thought that was pretty neat. Like, I didn't think that. I thought that looked really good. I think that's a cool world they built there.
I think it was just too much because I don't disagree. I think the world was interesting. I think it's a little too much of everything. I'll tell you what, you kind of set the tone early on. They have this test scene or like training scene for the Air Force, right? Where
he fights the drones.
They're fighting drones or testing out flying actual fighter jets or drones, which just reeks of Iron Man. They have the music, they have the cuts, they have like all the sonic boom shit, and it just doesn't work. And it's a big, I wrote down, it's a big chaotic fart. It's very loud. It's very shaky. And it's just so much off the bat. And it kind of sets the tone and the vibe for the entire movie, too, which is a problem because that's just the vibe you get the rest of the way. It's jumpy and moves around, and it's just entirely too much.
The effects there I actually thought were kind of good. Like when they were doing the plane fight, I was like, oh, I don't remember this actually looking okay and not being like disserviceable. Like I was like, oh, that's kind of cool. But then like the second they get into like this where the settings are entirely CGI'd and green screen, like then I think it really just loses like its ability to look realistic. I mean, whatever, you're making giant fish monster men, so there's not much you can do there. But like it takes you out of it, like Troy was saying before, when you have the big scale parts.
Well, how about using this as an example? Taika Waititi. Actually, let me ask this question first. Would the news really discuss that secret mission and testing of planes like that and drones?
I feel like they definitely would not. Especially considering it was the F-35, which is featured in this movie, which still doesn't work. It's very much still a national storyline that plane does not work at all.
Like I feel like, and they're like divulging his name and shit. Like I just feel like that wouldn't happen.
Mm-hmm. Test pilot Hal Jordan shut down in top secret NSA experiment. Like what the fuck? Like he would never hear about this ever. That's why they're doing it in the middle of the goddamn desert.
Like top I secret. Mean, yeah, I didn't take points off for that, but I was like, oh, this feels a little unrealistic. I feel like they would definitely not be talking about this on the news.
So I just want to note the one good thing I think that came out of this was that it set up Ryan Reynolds and Blake Lively, best couple in the world.
Okay, so that was one of the other things I'd written down. It did set them up.
Best couple in the world.
Yes.
This movie made that happen. So, I mean, thank God. I mean, there's a lot of bad things to take away from this movie, but they did set them up.
If you were shipping Blake Lively and Ryan Reynolds after this movie, it all worked out for you in the end.
Yes, agreed.
And so I was. Tycho,
you were. So after this movie, you were.
I had nothing left to live for.
This is all I wanted.
So the other people that were in top contention for this role, Bradley Cooper, Jared Leto, Justin Timberlake, any of them might have ended up marrying Blake Lively at that point. I'm very happy it ended up being Ryan Reynolds.
Brian Austin Green campaigned for the part, but did not audition.
You told me they didn't want the 90210 star?
No, I don't think they did. That's interesting because I'm reading of the production. Apparently, Kevin Smith was approached to do this one, to do like in 1997 after he just had finished Superman Lives. And he said, I guess he said there are more suitable candidates to make Green Lantern films.
That's humbling.
And then at one point, Quentin Tarantino was offered the chance to write and direct. And then Warner also considered the property as an action comedy in 2004 by Robert Schmeigel, who completed a script which was set for Jack Black in the lead role.
Oh, my God.
So
did you ever confuse this movie with the Green Hornet movie, by the way?
Shallow Hal Jordan. I like this already.
I kind of did, right? Because I don't know. That was the Seth Rogen one, right? Green Hornet.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't know. You know, it's kind of funny too that I read in here. I had Jeffrey Rush, who played the beak fish man. He said like he wasn't familiar with Green Lantern at all, but was drawn to it after seeing the concept art. Saying, "When I got the offer for it, I said, haven't I made that film?" And they said, "No, it's actually a completely computer generated character." And I saw the artwork and I said, I'd love to be that guy because I had voiced an owl in The Legends of the Guardians, the Owls of Ga'Hoole, oh, no. And voiced a pelican in Finding Nemo and thought I could really improve on that by now being half bird, half fish, part lizard. You don't get to do that in a live action film.
Just looking for anything to talk about at the press junkets. That isn't how much this movie fucking sucks.
Oh, my God. Jeffrey Rush. What are you thinking, buddy?
Well,
he's Australian, right?
The cast was great. I mean, they dumped $200 million into this movie. Like, it's a really good cast. It's a bad story. And I think if they could redo it, I could see DC making a pretty competent Green Lantern movie. I'm surprised they haven't done that already. But
I think it needs the same. Well, no, I don't want to say it needs the same style. I take that back. It doesn't need it. However, it being in the same style as a Guardians or a Thor Ragnarok, sure, where it's fun because the imagination is such a big pull here with the Green Lantern Corps. Like, you could definitely make a good, you can make something fun here.
I think anytime you're dealing with aliens, it has to be a little more on the, you at least have to approach that with the situation of this is a little ridiculous, right?
And I think the fun in this just wasn't totally there either, right? Like, we just didn't have a ton of fun moments. It never really... I don't think it knew if it wanted to be. It wanted to be funny, but it didn't know how to be funny. And I think Taika is a good example. Like, Taika Waititi is such a funny person, and his role was just basically dwindled down to basically being him. Like, yeah, oh, ah, wow, oh, that's great, or him cheering, or like, oh, show me the suit, or oh, the superhero gets the chick. Just like very quick, poppy 1 to 2 word quips that he would fire back that had absolutely no substance whatsoever.
Yeah, I think that's maybe my big issue that I was saying before. It's just that, like, tonally, I don't think they understood, like, how to make it comedy while also drama. And again, it didn't really fit into the DC thing that people had come to expect, really, with just that kind of gritty tone. And now it's just this kind of goofball, like, Hal Jordan character, which I think is good for the character. Like, that's, I think, plays correctly. But they just also try to be super serious, which just didn't work. They couldn't figure out where to go with it.
Well, I mean, I feel that way about Ryan Reynolds, right?
Sure.
He kind of always works better when he's toeing that line of comedy, at least in my mind. I mean, I think he can do both, but he's known as being a funny guy. And they tried to do that a little bit here, but it couldn't decide where it wanted to land.
I agree with you, though, just that he's in his best form when he's doing something that's funny. And he can do, like it can have semi-serious parts and it can be a little bit dramatic. Like, I think that's evident in stuff like Deadpool. But it just, they went way, it just didn't play to his strengths, I think. I don't think any of the actors they had listed would have, but still.
What about Detective Pikachu when he was his dad?
Yeah, for like all 5 seconds, it was sick.
That's a heavy scene. That's a heavy scene. Had to emotionally prepare for that one.
Let's go, son.
this was tough. Music, I want to mention too. The music, I think, very Iron Man-y. Like, they tried to make that badass music. to tie into the fight scenes that it wasn't more of like a score, but just like a soundtrack. It was, it was tough. It's a tough one. I feel like it's rare where people really hammer something like this and it doesn't live up or live down to the hype. This one does. It really does.
Yeah, it's not great. Which, I mean, Martin Campbell directed it, and he's done some good movies.
Sure.
Like, he did Goldeneye, right? A good movie. He did Casino Royale. So, like, he can do action movies. Part of this is I can really see, like, there's this quote that I was reading where Ryan Reynolds said, they pretty much just started with the movie poster and then didn't have a movie. And it's just kind of like, let's go. And like, I definitely see that happening, of them just cobbling this shit together, especially looking at the history of it and having them gone through and just like not really knowing. And that goes back to the leadership of comic book movies. And like, even what we're talking about with these major franchises, it's like there needs to be a person in charge of all of this stuff with a vision, or multiple people, at least over, like, they have some overarching idea of what they want to do. And Kevin Feige has been great for the Marvel Cinematic Universe, 'cause he's had a vision there. And these things on the DC side of things up until recently have almost more just felt like, okay, we got this great property, we're just going to make a movie about it. And, it just seems like it works better when it goes through, I don't know what I'm trying to say. It's unorganized. And I think the key learning here is that there needs to be more planning before you go out and make these, or else they're just going to be a mess.
Correct.
Yep. Yep. That's very, very true. It's a whole lot of nothing, folks. I think that's what it ended up boiling down to. It just lacks everything in every department. It didn't really know what it was or what it ever wanted to be. That's why it's bad. Bad movie. And like, say what you want about the Snyder movies, right? Like, say what you want about, for example, Batman vs. Superman. I didn't love it. Some people did, but there was a vision there, right? Snyder made what he wants. And for the most part, with the exception of Justice League, for many, many reasons, like, Snyder does make what he wants. And even if it's not great, like, I do respect that, and I like that. Whereas this, like, there was no identity at all. That is Green Lantern. But now we have to wrap it up. By the way, 22 out of 100 is easily the worst movie we've reviewed. It is well below Triple X at 41 out of 100. We'll try to pick a good movie next week. Let's play the box office game, though, with Ryan Reynolds. You guys ready
to go? Let's do it.
You want to pull up Ryan Reynolds' filmography?
Right now.
You guys are 7-3. You won on Signs. You did get a little help from me, though. We'll say that. Did help you guys out a touch. This one, here we go. Top 5 highest grossing movies worldwide from Ryan Reynolds. I think there is some easy and some hard here.
I'm going to say, Trill, I don't know if you agree, Deadpool 1 and 2, I think, are both on this list.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Right. Okay, yeah, that's good to get those out of the way. Deadpool 2 is number 1 with $785 million. Deadpool is number 2 with $783 million. Ryan Reynolds does not have a billion-dollar movie.
Does Hobbs and Shaw count? Because I think...
He has a credited role in Hobbs and Shaw, despite it being a secret beforehand.
Hobbs and Shaw did make a decent amount of change.
It's Hobbs and Shaw.
Yeah, say Hobbs and Shaw.
Hobbs and Shaw is number 3.
Okay.
Yeah.
Definitely not RIPD.
Nope, for sure not. For sure, I don't think X-Men Origins Wolverine either. I don't know how much money that made, but I don't think it was a lot.
There's probably a big drop-off between Deadpool and everything else, right, Jeff?
I wouldn't say a big drop-off. We've seen big drop-offs. I don't think it's a very big drop.
What about Detective Pikachu? I'm comfortable with that.
Ooh, yeah.
Detective Pikachu made a lot less than people projected, right? Remember that?
Yeah.
That still ought to be a decent amount of money, though.
But it still did make the list. It's number 5 at $432 million. So you are perfect so far.
Is above 400. How much was the number on that last one?
$432 million.
So it needs to make... Oh, shit.
Yeah, you do have 3 strikes to work with still here.
Going through this, most of his stuff from like the early 2000s, I can't imagine having made a lot of
Blade
money.
Trinity. No, I don't think.
Technically, by the way, he has an uncredited role in Ted.
Ted might be up there if it counted, right?
It does not count, but Ted would be up there.
Yeah.
Damn, Ted made that much money?
Yeah, that'd be good money, yeah.
Ted made very good money. Ted made $549 million.
Yeah. You think any of the Van Wilders? Probably no, nowhere near $400 million. No way.
Was he in more than one Van Wilder?
I think he was in 2, right?
No, I think the second one was The Return of Taj, and that.
So there's no, there's Van Wilder, then there's Van Wilder Party Liaison.
Was he in that one?
That's what it says. Harold and Kumar Go to White Castle.
Maybe he was in definitely more than not, one Van Wilder.
Ooh, Smoking Aces? Did that make good money?
Probably not.
Yeah, I don't think so. Smoking Aces.
Mm.
This is going to be hard. I would at this point guess Origins Wolverine, because it probably made at least $300 million, but I don't think it made over $400 whatever that the fifth place one made.
Got to start throwing guesses.
This is tough. This is really hard. This is really tough. Let's see.
The change up was good. The Croods. Did The Croods make money? I made another one. Turbo. Ooh, Turbo's an animated.
Yeah, well, I think it's probably, we got to get, I mean, these anime movies make so much money, dude.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he was the voice of Turbo, for God's sakes.
He was the voice of Turbo. Right,
let's go with Turbo.
Turbo is not it. Turbo made $283 million.
How could Turbo not be on the list? he was a snail, and I always get that confused with Bolt, who was the dog. They both were very fast.
I think The Croods made money. Let's go with that.
Is that your guess, The Croods?
Yeah.
All right, you got all five.
Oh, The Croods
is the fourth highest grossing movie in Ryan Reynolds' filmography, The Croods, with $587 million.
What a cast.
Holy shit.
Nicolas Cage, Emma Stone, Ryan Reynolds, Catherine Keener. Beast. Horace fucking Leachman.
The queen herself.
The Croods 2 coming out in 2020.
Oh, God, we're so good.
I'm surprised they haven't come out with a sequel already for that. It's 2013.
The biggest budget in Ryan Reynolds' filmography is The Fast and Furious Presents Hobbs and Shaw. It is tied with Green Lantern.
Damn.
Which is not a good thing. That's not good for that movie, because it only made $20 million more than its budget. Very tough. What's his lowest, though? Let's see. Hang on. Lowest grossing movie that would count still? Mississippi Grind's actually a decent movie. Made $423,000. He was in the movie Dick. That Richard Nixon movie, played Chip, that made 6.3.
Oh, yeah, with Michelle Williams and Kirsten Dunst, right?
Adventureland only made $17 million, but I'm trying to think of, like, big-time movies. Smokin' Aces only made $57 million. Yeah, that came out in 2006.
Damn.
RIPD made $78 million, and it had a $130 million budget. That's probably his biggest.
I can't wait for Six Underground, where he plays one.
Damn,
does he really?
Not good.
Yeah, all the characters' names are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Oh, yep, right. That's right.
I forgot if that was a bit we did or not. Okay, so that's real.
Because there's six of them. There's six underground, and he's one.
There are multiple underground.
Boss says if I kill a few more people, I could be four.
Possibly get to number four.
Five right now. I'm just trying to move on up in this vigilante organization.
Yeah, I think we need a good movie for next week.
Yeah, we're going to pick a good one. We alternate.
Let's do Dolemite.
Not everyone's going to love every movie that we do. We'll put up a vote again. But I enjoy talking about this one.
Let's do Dolemite.
We could do Dolemite.
Let's do Dolemite, because that's that'd be a good one. Because people are saying
it is very good.
People are saying it's good.
Yeah,
we're going to start planning out movies like JoJo, The Lighthouse. We got to let them get into more theaters. We are going to review The Irishman. We're going to wait till the end of the month, though, when it's on streaming. I think that makes most sense there. So other than that, I think that's it. Check out Monday. We're going to be releasing a Watchmen recap. We're going to be tweeting out for questions and discussion topics from people. And myself, Kendrick, and Robbie will break it down every Monday. Probably going to be doing that with Mandalorian when that drops as well. It'll be like a 10-minute recap video. Make sure to follow our YouTube channel. You can find that in the description below on the pod. I think that's it. Anything else?
Anything else, Kendrick? We can talk about video games for like 18 more minutes, Jeff.
Yeah, so it's Sekiro. Let's start from the top. No, I think that's it for today.
Okay. Make sure to see Terminator Dark Fate. We're going to talk about it next week with Ben Jack and Tom DeFoe. See you on Thursday.
And have a good week at the box office.
Marauding and bezel and even hijack. Drink up, me hearty, yo-ho. Yo-ho, yo-ho. ho, a pirate's life for me. We kindle a tar and flame and ignite. Drink up, me hearty, yo ho. We burn up the city, we're really a fright. Drink up, me hearty, yo ho. We're rascals, scoundrels, villains of days. Drink up, me hearty, yo ho. We're devils and black sheep, really bad eggs. Drink up, me hearty, yo ho. Yo ho, yo ho, a pirate's life for me. We're beggars and blighters and ne'er-do-well cats. Drink up, me hearty, yo ho. I would wear love by our mommies and dads. Drink up, ye hearty, yo ho. Yo ho, yo ho, a pirate's life for me. We kill and we plunder, we rival and look. Drink up, me hearty, yo ho. We spin up a baggage and don't give a hoot. Drink up, me hearty, yo ho. Yo ho, yo ho, a pirate's life for me. We sword, we bow, we build and slack. Drink up, me hearty, yo ho. Marauding and metal and even hijack. Drink up, me hearty, yo ho. Yo ho, yo ho, a pirate's life for me. We kindle and char and flame and ignite. Drink up, me hearty, yo ho. We burn up the city, we're really a fright. Drink up, me hearty, yo ho. We're rascals, scoundrels, villains and knaves. Drink up, me hearty, yo ho. We're devils and fancy, really bad eggs. Drink up, me hearty, yo ho. Yo ho, yo ho, a pirate's life for me. We're beggars and blighters and ne'er-do-well cats. Drink up, me hearty, yo ho. I will rid up my armies and bands. Drink up, me hearty, yo ho. Yo ho, yo ho, a pirate's life for me. We kill and we plunder, we rival and loot. Drink up, me hearty, yo ho. We still have a planet and don't give a hoot. Drink up, me hearty, yo ho. Yo ho, yo ho, a pirate's life for me. It's what we call, we build and slack. Drink up, me hearty, yo ho. Marauding and metal and even hijack. Drink up, me hearty, yo ho. Yo ho, yo ho, a pirate's life for me. We kindle and char and flame and ignite. Drink up, me hearty, yo ho. We burn up the city, we're really a fright. Drink up, me hearty, yo ho. We're rascals, scoundrels, villains and knaves. Drink up, me hearty, yo ho. We're devils and fancy, really bad eggs. Drink up, me hearty, yo ho. Yo ho, yo ho, a pirate's life for me. We're beggars and blighters and ne'er-do-well cats. Drink up, me hearty, yo ho. I'm a friend of my mommy's and dad. Drink up, me hearty, yo ho.